Hey, what's up, guys? Welcome to another episode of the Show Video. This is episode 552, I think. I'm your host, Andrew.
And I'm Danny.
And this is your source for tech, gaming, and entertainment news. Head over to theshowradio.info. Once again, it's theshowradio.info. And check out our past shows while you're there. Subscribe and tell a friend about the show. You can also get a free month of Libsyn Podcast if you're thinking about starting a podcast. Our promo code is TSR. That's in caps. The community Discord, we'll have that in the show notes. Daniela, you could find her at twitter.com/MissDJM. And patrons get early access to podcasts that we publish. So you can go to patreon.com/AndrewAlliance. And Daniela, I've missed you.
I know. I just like disappeared again.
It's okay. I get
it. Not intentional. It was supposed to be like a really... Well, I wasn't supposed to disappear, period. And I was like, I was actually going to take like a 9-day staycation. I didn't go anywhere. It was just to have a break from work so I can work on content. I can work on like cleaning my house. I can just work on me. And it just like did not happen that way whatsoever. And it was like the worst thing. I didn't even take care of myself. I took care of my son. I mean, that's not terrible. But like Murphy's Law, that everything that can go wrong will go wrong. Yeah, that's exactly what happened, because I think it was day 2 of my staycation. I was enjoying myself. I had like, it was a Sunday. I was like, I'm going to like record some VR content. I'm going to edit these videos. I'm going to have like, I have this entire day, have my setup to record several different videos all at once. And first of all, I started off that day having PC issues because... Every time there's an update, whether it be for the OS, my Oculus, or my graphics card, like when it comes to VR, it is difficult. It is really difficult because you're like troubleshooting, trying to figure out what is wrong, what changed, what mods. Yeah. And then once, like, I think I had the entire day because I spent Saturday getting all these things ready. And then come Sunday morning, like I had issues again. And I wanted to start like 9 o'clock in the morning. By the time I got everything figured out, it was like almost 4. And I'm like, okay, I can finally start this. Let's go and do this. I was literally about to hit record and I get a phone call from my son. And I was like, okay. And it was like really garbled. Like I didn't know what was happening. So that got me a little bit worried. And then like he's crying and I'm like way more worried. And then he's like, I think I broke my collarbone. I was like,
wow.
And I was like, okay, tell me where you're at. I'll come and get you. And I was like, okay, I gave myself all of maybe if even that 5 minutes to kind of like freak out and then just like calm down. Okay, I don't have time to freak out. I gotta be calm. I gotta handle this. And I may or may not have broken some traffic rules trying to get to my son.
Which one is it? Cars on there. May or may not.
I will not confirm nor deny any of it. But my son was like, I was like freaking out, and he only had like one of his friends over there, and it's weird because from where he was at to where I'm at, I was, it's about a 25-minute drive, and that's without traffic. So it's like I just had to hope that I didn't come across any other cars.
Right.
And I guess one of his friend's dads that was with him, he's like, oh, I'm going to take him to the ER. I'll meet you there. Mind you that this person's dad literally lives like 3 or 4 blocks away from where they were at. Really close. Yet somehow I get to the ER at the same time as they do. I'm like, did you take the scenic route to take my son? Because you're like 3-4 blocks away from my son, but the hospital is about a minute away from you, a minute from where you're located. What happened there? Like, oh, like, okay, whatever. Hi, my son. And of course, you have the whole COVID thing. So they have to screen you, make sure you're okay, take your temperature. Like they do it all outside of they have a tent outside of the ER to make sure you're all good. And when you get cleared there, then they take you in, and only one person can go in with the patient. So it was just me. They took some x-rays and it was actually pretty quick for the most part, a lot faster than like when I went to the ER. I had like issues with my gallbladder, and I think I waited in the waiting room of the ER for like 2 hours. I think the entire process for my son to go in, they'd be checked out, checked in, x-rays, examined, was about a 2 hour process. Mm. So he ended up breaking up his collarbone into 4 pieces. And of course, in all that pain and all of this stuff, you have those things that, why did you let me go out? I will never skateboard again. This is just stupid. I can't believe it. I'm never leaving the house again. I was like, yeah. You say that now. No, I mean it. I'm never going to skateboard. This is ridiculous. Yeah, okay. I'll remember this. I should record this. And I'll remind you that you said that you don't ever want to leave the house again. Yeah, you know, a week later, he actually had, that was a Sunday. He actually had surgery that coming Friday, which was an interesting experience. Yeah, I mean, he has, I think he handles pain as well as I do for the most part. Like, it hurts, but he kind of uses humor to, like, kind of cope through it.
Right.
And when he came out, he's like, I don't even remember going in. I don't remember having to count down. Everybody tells me that when they give you that med to knock you out, to count down from 10, I don't remember doing that. He's like, I remember putting my robe on, and then I'm here. I'm like, oh, okay. And he couldn't feel his arm for a good bit. But that first week, I think the first week after surgery was probably worse than the week that he had to wait until it happened. I felt so terrible. Of course, they gave him some really, really hard pain meds.
Right.
And they really didn't want to give that to him because he's a minor. And they just like, I understood it. And even I kind of staggered when he could have, you know, his Percocet. So he could only have that when he went to sleep to help him sleep at night. But during the day, I'm like, here's some Motrin. You can have it during the day. And when I really wanted to get him off of it, because he still has a bit of Percocet left over. And what else did they give him? Hydrocodone. Percocet was before the surgery. Hydrocodone was for after surgery. He went through a couple days of withdrawals that he did not like at all. Mm. And that was just taking it once a day at night. So that was a bit rough. But he got through that. And now he's okay. And he's back to like, he had a follow-up appointment, I think, last Thursday. And the first question he has is like, when can I go back skateboarding?
Like, wait, what happened? Really? I thought he was done.
Yeah. No, he was just saying those things in the moment because he was going through pain and this happened. I was like, see, I told you. He's like, you can't judge me for the things I say when I'm in pain. And I'm like, yeah, I can. Totally will. So he's he has to, of course, lay easy on it for a bit. He's healing really well. They're really happy with it. He has a plate and 9 screws in there, hold it all together. They said it's kind of optional if after he's done healing, if he wants to have the plate removed. And my son's like, nope, it's just going to stay there.
Okay.
I don't want to go through that. They're doing that pain all over again in that healing. I was like, yeah, but you're not healing anything. You're just removing it. You're just removing something. He's like, I'm good. It can stay there. I'm like, all right. And he's back to being a bit more active. He can't do any heavy lifting or any contact sports.
Yeah, it's too soon. But,
yeah, so he can probably go back to that. I think they said in like 4 months, 3 or 4 months, maybe okay. Sooner because he's healing pretty well. The one thing I didn't get to ask is when he can start swimming in a pool or the ocean again. I gotta go and ask that one. But because he's so young and he's healing so well, probably most likely doesn't have to have any physical therapy. But they'll determine that in his next checkup, which is in a few weeks. So my staycation turned into Now he is. It was really rough to see him in so much pain. Nobody wants to see their kid in pain like that, or any type of pain, really.
Right.
It's really hard when you can't, you know, alleviate that for them. Yeah, that was kind of it. My staycation turned into like babysitting him. And the one thing I was excited about, they're like, oh, when they were saying what his limitations are, he's like, yeah, you can go back, you can do this, and you can start doing the dishes. I was like, yes. It's all I wanted to hear, that he can start doing the dishes again. No excuses. You can use that left arm. That's all that matters to me. He can do his chores.
Wow. Thanks, Mom.
If you can do your chores, your arm's fine. But yeah, that's where I've been at. And now I'm back at work and I'm like, man, now I can't do more stuff. But yeah, I had to take off 2 weeks from work, which isn't so bad. But at the same time, it's not like I could do a whole lot.
Right.
But the sweetest part of it all, like, I hate because he was in pain, but it just like made me feel all warm and squishy inside. Was like he had a hard time figuring out how he can fall asleep. I think there was about a 3-day period where we barely slept because he would accidentally kind of start to turn to roll on his left side because that's the side he sleeps on the most, and he'd wake up in pain, or he just could not get comfortable at all, and he was just like crying. And there was one night where he did actually sleep in the bed with me because he was so frustrated, and I had to like kind of pin him between two pillows, kind of like when you did with a toddler that was sleeping on the bed. You have them between two pillows so they don't roll off the bed.
Right.
And like every often, because to deal with the pain, he'd like roll over and he's like, Mama, hold my hand.
Aww.
I'm like, oh, okay, I hold your hand. And anytime like he falls asleep, I let go of his head, and then he'd like wake up instantly, Mama, hold my hand. Like, okay. So that was like sweet, and I was like, okay, that's fine. 2 weeks of this,
you're okay with that? That's fine.
Yeah. So how have you been? How have you been for the last couple weeks?
I'm chilling, Daniela. Chilling. I'm chilling. It's been a week, but I'm chilling. Today was good.
It definitely has been.
Today was good. I did some, we did a parade for my daughter for, you know, graduation, her birthday stuff. That was fun. So we kind of wrapped that up and now I'm talking to you. It's been a week. We've seen a lot of things this week. I think, for the headliner, we're definitely going to talk about Last of Us 2 and stuff like that, but I'm okay. Car's almost 100%, you know, the way I'm looking for it to be on the road. So I'm excited about that. I got O2 sensors on order, which should get here by Tuesday. And I had to redo the entire intake, so did that. New tires in the back, that's fine. New brakes in the front. I'm chilling. I got no complaints, man. But it's been a week. But before we get to some of the things that we want to hit before we get out of here, let's definitely talk about Last of Us 2. Fill me in and your thoughts on that, you know, stars and all that good stuff. What do you got?
Oh boy, what can I say? So I did receive The Last of Us 2 for review and for coverage from Evolve PR and Sony. So thank you for that. Thank you so much for reaching out and offering me this opportunity. Oh boy, what can I say? Let's put it straight out. So you have that whole user scores and Metacritic and the user scores and how they're so polar opposites. Honestly, straight off the bat, I mean, I personally never ever look into those things. Like, I don't read the reviews of other, not only just other sites or other people, colleagues, or even users, because I really want to experience it for myself. And that's what I can start off with saying, is that you should really, if you don't want to pay full price, if you want to wait till the sale, at some point, you should actually. I think overall, the experience of it is totally worth it. And let's start with how it looks first. Let's go start with the simple stuff. It is absolutely a beautiful, beautiful game. And I thought that about The Last of Us, the first one. And I believe I got the first one on PS3 originally. And I think shortly after they did the awesome thing when the PS4 came out, you got that free upgrade to get the remastered of The Last of Us, and I thought it was beautiful on the PS4, like the very first one. And this actually puts it to kind of like a shame. Like, it's like, oh wow, if I thought that would look really beautiful, this one on the PS4 Pro, gorgeous. I was playing it on my gaming monitor, I played on my TV, and it's just it's just a beautiful game.
It really is. And it's just like so sad because we have the PS4 here who is like slowly walking its way to the end of its, not like end of its life cycle, but you got the PS5 coming out later this year, which part of me kind of hopes that they will do like a free upgrade to the PS5 version, like a little remaster for The Last of Us Part 2, because I want to see if it can look even better. Like the character designs, just the details in their creases, their pores, their expressions, everything is just beautiful and amazing. The music score was just, it just hits right. It's just the environments, the lush environments that you have from, you have this overgrowth of this like jungle, like cityscape. And then you have in the forest with the snow and you have snowflake particles coming down and the water running. And you're on your horse. It was just, I took a lot of time just taking, like going in photo mode. I'm like, oh my God, I got to take a picture of this. Oh, I got to take a picture of this, which probably added a little bit more time to my play time than was necessary. But it's just gorgeous. I just wanted to take it all in. And there's a couple scenes in where you're like having these conversations with the characters and they're just overlooking this beautiful landscape. And I was like, just focus on that so much and trying to like, okay, wait, I need to like listen to what they're talking about. And now everything else about that game. I've been trying to make this as spoil-free as possible because I do want people to go out and still experience the game. So okay. I'm going to try and do this in the most spoil-free as I possibly could. I think everybody can gather. You play as Ellie. And this happens when the game starts. It's like the intro is kind of almost immediately whatever happens after the first or after part one, and then you start off into that, and then it flash forwards 5 years later. So Ellie's like about 19, 20 years old, somewhere around there. And she's very much a woman, very independent, like she was as like a 14-year-old girl, and very outspoken still. Playing her as the main character wasn't bad. I didn't have a problem with it. The mechanics, the thing is with Naughty Dog games in general, I've never really liked the movements. It always feels so clunky to me. It doesn't feel smooth. And that's kind of also what I didn't like about part one, is I didn't like the way that it moved. I always felt like I was fighting the camera, fighting the way this character wanted to move compared to what I wanted it to do. The AI is still very, very wonky. Although the character that's kind of your partner through this is Dina, and she's just as annoying as when Ellie was your partner in part one with Joel. Like, kind of gets in the way, kind of just gets up, does her or whatever. I'm like, really, you're in my way. There's times where I'm trying to line up shots, and here comes Dina walking in the way. I was like, no. That was a perfect shot. You got it away. You got the clickers and all the enemy AIs. They're still so incredibly predictable still with the way it moves. And it doesn't, which isn't bad. I mean, I think more of it is about experiencing the story than it is having this really action intense firefights. Or, I don't know. It's just could do better as far as the AI. There wasn't so much I guess action as you would. You're spending a lot of time exploring, and there's some short-lived firefights I don't even want to give spoilers, but against other humans, well, not actual humans, AI humans. And then you have, you know, your monsters, your clickers and whatnot. There is a handful of jump scares, which I think that's why you weren't so keen to pick it up.
That's right. I ain't doing it.
There was a couple of jump scares, but they're not really bad. They catch you really off guard, but they weren't overwhelming a lot. Like, I would ever classify it as a horror game in a way. Like, they weren't exactly horror jump scares, but it does catch you off guard. You're like, oh my God. There's a couple times where I jumped out and screamed, and I do like those. I think it's funny.
and the storyline, okay, so I'm not gonna I understand like the whole politics and everybody getting so upset with the relationship that Ellie and Dina have, and I don't have a problem with that at all. Obviously I don't. But I felt like it was really, really pushed. There's certain things in the relationship that you end up building with Dina just felt really pushed. It didn't feel natural, like the relationship that Joel and Ellie were building up in part one. In part two, I felt like there was no natural buildup for it. There was nothing that made me grow any sort of attachment to Dina because of that.
Okay.
The conversations that they were have, like there were some heartfelt moments that I did enjoy, but they felt so empty. Like that's another thing. When you're walking around and exploring, what I liked about the first one, and I don't have that with the second one, is that even their small talk conversations felt empty. And that's like, oh, okay. It's filled with a lot of terrible dad jokes, I can tell you that.
Mm.
Oh my gosh. I am not a fan of dad jokes. And there's a very... Okay, I'm trying to pick my words without spoiling it, without spoiling anything.
Take your time.
There's... The ending, I'm still not sure about their closure.
In a good way or a bad way?
I don't know what way yet.
Okay.
Like, I kind of felt me, like, left me just kind of like a little bit. It's not satisfying. I'm not satisfied with it. Is there closure? Yes. Is it what I wanted? That's debatable. And then the thing is, I think I found a couple of people who did like the ending, and I was like, yeah, I think we have to have some conversations here because I need to really fully grasp it. But then I only finished a little while ago, so it's still sitting with me. But it wasn't as impactful as I guess I wanted it to be.
Okay.
There are situations where I felt like Ellie enjoyed killing a little bit too much in a way. And I don't know how I felt about that. I still don't know how I feel about that.
Well, she couldn't wait to do it?
Well, not like that. It's like I feel like there was no remorse in it. Like, did I really have to kill that way? Did it really have to go this way? It's like, okay, I did the deed and then it's done. Let's like just move on.
Okay.
Because you're already living in this world where there's so, like, the human population is so dwindled. Do you really want to like lessen even more? I don't know. I guess that's like where your personal feelings towards, you know, here's the end of the world in this post-apocalyptic world. Do you really want to reduce the human population?
Right.
Even if the person is coming out after you. I don't know. But
interesting.
Roughly for me, it took me just under 30 hours. I don't know exactly how long. It's a decent amount of gameplay. So I know it's definitely more than like 24 hours I put into it.
Okay.
I don't think it was more than 30. I can't remember. I gotta go look. But it's a decent amount of gameplay.
One story, not a lot of side missions or anything like that? It's just one main jam?
Yeah.
Okay.
Very linear story. There is some exploration to go out so you can pick up. I like the skills tree that was in there. I'm a personal fan of the pump shotgun in there. So it's like just pretty much the same. I liked how there's so much exploration, but you're still in this linear storyline. So there's a lot of empty buildings. You go, you explore them, you pick up, you know, little items for you to craft.
Okay.
The skill trees that, well, it's not like your typical skill tree. So there's you can unlock some training guides as you find them along to increase your stealth mode or increase your movement when you're aiming. There's a lot of different things, and you can really pick and choose based off how you're playing. In my gameplay or in my playthrough, I really tried my best to be stealthy. I'm not the greatest stealth person. But I try to engage in a way that I could leave as many alive if I didn't have to kill anybody just to get past them.
Yeah.
So my problem with that.
The mechanics on sneaking around and, and pulsing to see the other characters, the other enemies around you and all that stuff, was that much different than the first game?
No, this was pretty much the same. Although okay. you can unlock skills to improve it, so you see the outlines better. My problem was that I would always accidentally hit the wrong button.
Okay.
Which would alert everybody. And I was like, oh, this is not what I want to do. Although there was one scene, I don't think it's a spoiler, but there's this one sequence in where you're in this underground subway station. And I was so proud of myself because first there's clickers and then you have the WLLF, which is one of the factions that are after you, searching for you and Dina. And I was like sitting in the subway car and I was like, oh no, I can't. I don't even think I can get to this because, of course, you have to sense people to see where they're at and hopefully you see their pattern so that you can navigate around them. I was like, I don't have enough bullets for this. I don't think I have enough patience for this. And I felt so, so proud of myself because you have like bricks and you have bottles laying around. So you can do it. You can throw it somewhere to distract. So when I first entered there, there was at first a clicker. And it was just the only one. I was like, okay. And then when I went into one of the subway carts, that's when the WLF came out. I was like, oh no. So what I did was I took a brick and I threw it towards the direction that's in the middle of the clicker, the WLF, that was away from me. And so the WLF goes over, it's like, whoa, what is that? And they go and look over there. And then this clicker sees them. And then the clicker like sounds off and starts chasing them. They're making noises, getting to this gunfight with them. And then all these other clickers that I didn't even know was there come rushing in. I was like, oh, it's a good thing I did that. So they were engaged, which gave me the opportunity to get away and work my way around this whole event because they're just too busy. I'm like, I am so proud of myself. I did that. It was good. That was like, I think that was like kind of my favorite part only because I made that happen and I didn't have to deal with anybody. I could just like, I'm just going to breeze through. You guys don't even notice me.
Does the difficulty scale or do you pick the difficulty?
You can pick the difficulty.
Okay. Can you pick the different characters that you play with, or is one character?
It's mainly one character. I mean, you don't really have the choice. You're always going to play as Ellie when you're in her sequence. And then there's another character that you kind of play for a little bit. I believe her name is Abby. But for the most part, it's just Ellie.
Okay. Weapon choices are different from the first game, or?
No, they're pretty much the same.
Okay.
Although for the melee weapons, you pick up melee weapons as you go along, and it has a limited durability. I think my favorite is the axe.
Okay.
And the next one is the machete. And then you always have your knife, and they all have like special durabilities, and you can also upgrade and make all these little cool things that you want, workbenches that you find, which I kind of felt like I have to go back and play one to really see if it really was a difference. I felt like I came across less workbenches in this game than I did in the first one.
Okay. Can you save those are at any pretty point? Much. Or how does that work?
Yes. You can save at any point.
Okay. The dogs, were they introduced in the first game also or only in the second game?
Man, those dogs. I can't remember. Okay. I want to say there was dogs in the first one. I can't remember that at the moment. But yeah, there are definitely dogs in this one and where you can track the scents that you leave. Sadly, very, very sadly, because I didn't want to do this, in which my community would probably tell me I'm lying. But when he came across the dog, I didn't want to kill the dogs. I really didn't want to. I really didn't want to. But it was one of those occurrences where I accidentally pressed the wrong button, started this entire fight, and I had these two dogs chasing me down and trying to eat me.
Right. So either take out the dog or...
Yeah, pretty much. I didn't want to.
Okay, so... So, storyline, you felt like it was being pushed, or is pandering the right word, or is that a wrong word to use in some of the storylines and the relationships?
I wouldn't say it's pandering. It just felt like they were trying to push certain relationships.
Okay.
Rather than it feeling natural. Like the best way that I could. I didn't have a problem with it. It just like, it didn't give me the opportunity to feel like I can like totally ship these two together in a relationship or have a bond with Dina, which I already had a kind of a bond with Ellie based off of the off of part one. Mm-hmm. But to really like Dina, like, I don't know.
Okay. What were your expectations going in playing it? Did you have any?
I wouldn't know. I try really hard not to have any expectations when I play any game.
Okay.
Because if I do and then it doesn't meet it, then I'm going to just be really way more disappointed than I probably should be. Okay. So I really don't try to go in with high expectations. I was really, I guess, to some sense, I was expecting, I guess, that same great storytelling that happened in the first, which there are a couple moments where that happened, where I really loved it, but it's sad that it was moments that it was when you have Ellie and Joel.
Okay.
But anything else, I didn't have that same type of connection.
Okay. So how many stars? Are you giving it stars or what do you give?
Oh, I can give it stars.
Well, how many
I guess stars? Out of 5 stars. Let's see. 3.5.
Mm. Okay. Why 3.5?
Although a very beautiful game. With Ellie, my favorite character, I just feel like the story could have been written out better. Again, the gameplay movement could have been done better, especially now, because that was sort of part of my problem with part one, and I still don't feel it now. But I also feel that same thing, like that seems to be Naughty Dog's like whole, I guess that is their thing, and the way the movements, and I've never been a fan of that. And I feel like whatever closures that it does give does not meet, I guess, how impactful the story is from part one and part two.
Okay. All right.
But I still say that people should go out and give it a try, form their own opinion on it. Maybe they do like it and maybe they don't feel the same way. It's still a beautiful game. I loved looking at it. There was no part that I didn't like. It's just the story. The story is like, it just killed me. When I say I didn't like, there's a lot of parts where I love just the way it looked. I love the way that it was shot. I love the way that the cutscenes just blended in with everything else. I just, for me, like you can have the most beautiful game, but if the story doesn't match up to the same level of how beautiful the game is, that is lackluster for me. That's what always gets me is if I enjoyed the storytelling that went on.
Okay. Final thoughts? Any?
That's everything for me.
Okay. Cool. So Last of Us 2, Daniela gives it a 3.5.
I do. So thank you again. Thank you again, Sony Naughty Dogs, for giving me this opportunity. I still enjoyed it. And obviously, of course, Evolve. So
that's dope. Dope. Okay. Next thing we got is Night City Wire, Cyberpunk stuff. A lot with that. I mean, for me, I'm excited all over. I'm just waiting for the op to actually play something before the game launches in November. I did watch it. Your thoughts on that?
Let's see. Can we just say that I think that Paris over at Gamertag Radio should just have his own character in there?
Okay.
No. Yeah, I did watch Nightwire City. And I'm gonna admit this too. I was kind of strange because I was trying to actually hide my face from my boyfriend as we were watching it together because I actually teared up. I was just so happy and so excited that I actually was kind of crying. And I don't think I've had games that made me cry, but that's as I'm playing them. But I don't think I've ever had a game have me cry before I actually even got to play it.
Right.
And you're still like months out, but just to see more stuff about it, just to see this game that I think I have been waiting for info on from like 2013, 2013 when they had their first teaser trailer to where it's at now and what's happened in the last 2 years since they announced it at E3. It's amazing. And I love it. I love what they're coming out with. And just, I think the episode one of Nightwire City was, 25 minutes, I think, somewhere around there.
Yeah.
It still had so much information going on and so much to throw at you. I was like, oh my goodness. And then the one thing that I was a little bit sad of, like they came out with, I think they're partnering with Trigger Studios to come out with the anime, the Netflix series.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, 2022?
Yeah, that's why? Crazy. Too far away.
It is. I was like, why so far? Why not 2021? Why not summer 2021? 2022? Ah. And I'm just being a little bit greedy there.
That's all good.
But then they showcased the brain dance, which I thought was actually pretty awesome. Just to see, I like that they said that it wasn't just like, oh, some collectible that you can just like randomly do, that actually adds to the environment, adds to the story, adds to like everything that you're going to go through. And I thought it was really awesome how you can just not only just play through and watch it from that person's perspective, but then to actually see it from a third person about and replay it and analyze it and just break it down like that. I loved it, because when they first started going through, you know, the first thing that I thought of, which I was only for that brief moment before they fully explained it, I was kind of like a little disappointed. It kind of reminded me in Division, you know, and I don't remember what it's called, where you're going through the city and then you can have like this reconstruction of the particles about, and it plays an audio.
Oh, yeah, yeah. The echoes.
Yeah, there. That's why I was like, is that what that is? I didn't really like that in Division. And then they went into it. I was like, oh, wow, okay. This is so much better than whatever Division has. So I thought that was awesome. And I can't wait to go and see what other stories, because that's the great thing that CD Projekt Red does in all of their games, is that they have this huge world that is just as in depth and deep as it is wide.
Right.
And I was like, that's awesome. I can't be talking all about it by myself. Why not?
I'm in chill mode today. I'm so chill today. Like, you could do all the talking today. I think it was really, really good, because we're excited to see more from CD Projekt Red and Cyberpunk 2077 stuff. We're sad that it's not coming out until November. But the fact that they showed, I think the brain dance thing really was, to me, was so intriguing on how much data you can capture as you're trying to grab clues and different things like that in the game itself. So I thought that was really neat that they had those things available for us as tools to, you know, do search and try to gather data. So that was cool. Of course, you know, the chair stuff that they have with Secret Labs, you know, I'm like thirsty over that. So it was cool to see that they did that partnership. Of course, they have t-shirts and all the other things that they have. I think it's almost, even though it was like 25 minutes, like you were saying before, it's very overwhelming how much information that they packed into that. And that robot that was like super scary in the midst of all that too, was just like, dude, I don't want to mess with that dude.
The fully converted human.
Dude, I don't want to have anything to do with that dude. Right. And just the how huge the game is, right? I think we're all excited. We just want to get, you know, our hands on it to play it. And of course, some individuals got a chance to check out the preview and all that stuff this past week. And as I'm thinking about even some of the games, as you mentioned, that they've done in the past, I started playing Witcher this past week, and just to try to understand the world, how they scale their games. And so far, even though I'm in the beginning of The Witcher 3, it's really amazing. Like, sound design is really good. And like you said, huge world And there's so much content in the world as they're navigating the story. It's an amazing job that they do with their games. So I'm excited to go through that. And I'm in the process of doing that right now. So it's a lot. It's a lot, but it's exciting stuff.
Yeah. You know what else I like is I like that it's not going to be like a weekly thing. I like the, I guess, the mystery that they leave in. So I think the next one they said is going to be in July.
Yeah, it's in a couple of weeks. Yeah,
I don't remember if they did. So I like that it's not going to be like a weekly thing. Yeah, the chairs, oh my goodness, they looked good. But it's really, I think it was, I don't remember if it was, I saw it before or after Night City Wire. The PR boxes, they had the backpack and like a hoodie that's just this little pocket in the sleeve. I'm like, I want that.
Right.
That's what I want. Like, oh, buddy. I you know what's funny is I don't think I've ever had a care for the color yellow before.
You know, until now?
Yeah. Until now, I'm like, okay, I will wear yellow all you want if it has that on it. Like, their merchandise is, like, really on point, and obviously I want to have them all. I did see a couple complaints, though. Well, not a couple. I saw one. I think I saw the ones that I saw that was complaining about it is that they didn't show more about Johnny Silverhands or Keanu Reeves, and I was actually okay with that. I'm a ridiculously huge Keanu Reeves fan. But I was okay with that because Cyberpunk 2077 is way more than just Keanu Reeves. Way more than that. He's just the extra little topping to this amazing sundae already. But I was okay with them leaving out and not diving more into Johnny Silverhand because I want to know about more about the world. I want to know more about the different characters you're going to come across. I want to know more about the quest.
Right.
That I think that they could have a Night City Wire every other day, and I don't even think it would even hit a fraction of what this game will be. And even though I just said during my review of The Last of Us, I tried to not go in with high expectations or any expectations. Like, it's really hard for me to contain that for Cyberpunk 2077 on a realistic level. But I believe that they will meet a lot of people's expectations and go beyond that. My worry when the game releases is that there's so many people who have never experienced Witcher. They've never really dived into a CD Projekt Red game before, or they've never really gave, I guess, tabletop games, which is what Cyberpunk started off as, a try. And that can be a totally different experience to what people are used to, where they have, you know, where a game that has a 60-hour storyline gameplay is too much for some people. And then you have the entire, I guess, I don't want to say short attention span, but everybody has this mentality when they play into games, like, oh, they jump in, it's a shooter, and that's what you're going to be doing. It's very shallow in a way. And that's not what Cyberpunk is. It is a very story enriched game.
Right.
So I'm very wary about people who are just like just getting into it and finding out about it in this, even if in the last like year and a half, 2 years, and seeing this amazing gameplay. Like, I don't want people to jump in expecting like, yeah, you're just going to get a shooter.
Hopefully those individuals don't review the game either, because it's an RPG and you can shoot in it. That's really what it is.
Yeah, the shooting and I guess the fighting is kind of like secondary to everything else. So I just can't. What else did they talk about? Oh, the nice little free upgrade to the next gen. I thought that was really awesome that they're going to be doing it. So regardless if you got it for or playing it for PS4 or the Xbox One, you do get a free upgrade that will move over to the Xbox Series X and the PlayStation 5. So that's really cool that they're doing that. That's awesome. And
absolutely.
I think that's the biggest thing that I can think
of. It's just at this point, we're just waiting to play it. Experience it. I mean, I'm not really watching that many videos and stuff on it and or whatever. I love what I saw with episode 1 of Night City Wire, but at the same time, trying to reserve some of the, you know, I want to be surprised. I want to really jump in and be like, wow, okay, so I didn't expect that. I still want that. So, you know, I'm not watching a lot of, you know, video and a lot of previews and different things like that. You know, unless, you know, I need to, unless someone asked if I should check out something or whatever. But outside of that, I'm really not doing that much digging into the world. There's a lot of people doing that right now, and they're doing a fine job. So I'm excited. I'm ready to play it. That's it, right? And I want to keep that excitement up until it comes out in November.
Well, I'm not disappointed with them having to delay for a second time, because I believe they did announce that the game is complete. Everything is in place. Everything's done. They just want to just get out a few extra bugs. And when you have a game that big and that massive with so many quests and side quests, you really want to make sure that everything works well. Because, well, first of all, because there's so much hype, so much expectations, you don't want the slightest thing screwing that up, because people just love to like really like take that one bad thing or that one bug and just explode it into this huge thing for this game, because unrealistic expectations. So I'm glad that they're taking it. I'm okay with it being pushed to November. Do I want it like in April? Yes, I did, but I'm okay. It also gives me some time to save up extra money to replace my graphics card. Because I'm trying to find it now. I know somebody put it out. So all the gameplay that was shown, I believe, was on a 2080 Ti, and it was running at like 1080. So I can imagine that you would need something pretty beefy.
Right.
Don't take whatever specs I just said. I'm just like, I think, I don't know if I remember that fully correctly, because I can't find where I read it. But I have a 1070, and I don't want to have to knock down settings if I don't have to.
Right.
So, you know, having it in November gives me extra time to save up money to upgrade my card. And my last thing is, so with the Netflix series, I think it's going to be a limited series. I remember it's going to be like 10 episodes of Cyberpunk Edgerunners. It's supposed to be its own standalone story that happens within the world of 2077. I don't believe they announced it, but something that I personally hope, that maybe there's some crossover in where V gets to come across this Edgerunner. Even if it's like not necessarily maybe a side quest, you just come across him randomly as he's doing his, you know, running whatever it is for the story. Like, I think that would be kind of cool to bring that into both the series and into the game.
Yeah. So much going on. I also want to mention Last of Us 2 sells more than 4 million copies. Just throw that in there for data's sake. It's a lot of good stuff, though.
Yeah. I'm excited.
It's a lot of good stuff. So as I mentioned to you before we started the show, we're not going to end the show on a bad note. But there's a lot of bad stuff that took place this week. And the last I'm just holding it for this week. This week alone was a lot of headaches and disappointments and all that stuff. Let me just look at my notes real quick. All right, so yeah, let's start with some things are tie-ins here, but let's start with Twitch bans. I want to hear your thoughts on Twitch bans, and we can navigate that a little bit.
I feel like for a very long time, the bigger you are, I feel like there's a correlation here. The bigger you are as a streamer, the less likely you are to ever receive a permanent ban. And there's some streamers up there that does some really questionable things. Not even questionable. It's like one of those, like, really, really, you thought that was a good idea that you should go and do that. And yet, if I did that, goodbye me. But here's a slap on the wrist for you. Like, okay. So it's always amazing to see, like, man, popularity. Still high school as an adult. But the special thing here is nobody knows why Dr. Disrespect was permanently banned from Twitch. Nobody does. He put out a statement yesterday, I think a whole day later after his ban,
that he wasn't told why. And I feel that's a lie. I feel that's 100% a lie. I do. I don't know if it's because of some legal thing that's going on. I don't know if he's just, he can't say anything. But to say you don't know why.
Right.
Like, for real, you know why. You just either won't say it or you can't say it. But of course, you have like Twitter who like the, well, not even just Twitter, just like the internet in general, who like turns into deep dive detectives who start digging up everything and just like going crazy for it. Like, oh my goodness. They like go into scary scenes. I think I saw this screenshot, I guess, of one of his scenes, because I've never really watched a Dr. Disrespect stream. I've seen clips, but I've never seen an actual stream. But I guess he has a scene in there that's like a coffee shop or something like that.
Okay.
And like on the right side of the screen, there is like this little, and it's really like really small. Like it's really like kind of, there's a slight blur to it because it's that tiny. Compared to the whole scene, that there was supposed to be like a special announcement June 29th, which is tomorrow, if you're depending on when you're listening to this, because today is Sunday, June 28th. But anyways, and they don't know if this is like some huge elaborate storyline plot that he's putting in to amp up whatever he has to announce on the 29th, or that has nothing to do with it. Like, people are just going crazy with their stories.
Right.
I was like, damn, that is a very deep and elaborate little storyline. And then I guess he had a stream, or his last stream, with super, super weird, I guess, the way he ended it. And I guess he ended it abruptly.
The last 8 minutes was weird, yeah.
Yeah. And like people pulled that up. And I was like, my goodness. But even though I'm not a fan and I don't watch Dr. Disrespect, of course I'm very curious. I'm very curious too. Because that was, I felt like it was out of the blue. And most people who do receive a ban, whether it be permanently or temporary suspension or whatever it is, there's always a reason. There's always a reason that was given. And, oh, I see this link here.
Yeah, look at this link real quick. Look at this link real quick. Scroll down to the part where it says, you see Starling tweet? You see that?
Yeah.
The tweet box? Okay. 10:40 p.m. June 21st. Sick of being quiet, CEO of Twitch, Sheer, was asked all hands meeting about partners using their platform to abuse women. So you have that, right? And then you have Slasher. I'm not familiar with Slasher until recently. Slasher, I believe, if it's the same Slasher we're talking about, was on a podcast called Trainwreck TV Scuffed Podcast, along with Devin Nash and Fandy and Bose and this guy named Destiny and Amaranth was on there too, and all, you know, all the peeps, right? So they're on there doing a podcast, and the vibe that I get from Slasher is he's like a no nonsense dude, okay, about anything. So if he knows something and he feels some kind of way about a particular thing, he will tell you straight up. He's not going to wait. He's not going to sugarcoat it and stuff like that. And that's the vibe that he was giving on this particular podcast that they recently did on the Trainwreck TV podcast, as it relates to just things that's been going on in the industry. So you have Slasher talking here. This post was at 1 a.m. on June 27th. Howard, due to importance and sensitivity around the subject, I've refrained from going on with it. I don't feel comfortable with it currently. So I know we say nobody knows anything, but Twitch has to know something concrete enough to make a decision. This, you know, like from Twitch to, I think, his Discord. I don't know about, you know, sponsorships and different things like that. So you have that. And then on 10 p.m. on June 27th, Champions Club, Dr. Disrespect says, Twitch has not notified me on the specific reasons behind the decision. Firm handshakes to all for the support during this difficult time. So I think from the time that they mentioned he was banned to the time that he posted this, it took a while, right? And then according to this article, they give, I guess, you know, the guy is kind of like speculating on why would you wait so long? You know, if you knew this happened, like if you knew this happened today, right, Sunday the 28th, why are you going to wait that long to do a statement if it's, you know, I guess maybe lawyers and stuff are involved? So this article kind of breaks down a couple of things, but it's still, it must be really, really bad. That's what everybody's leaning to. it must be really, really bad. Go ahead. Your thoughts on anything?
Yeah, it's got to be something bad. The stories that come out, speculations. I mean, a whole day. Most partners don't wait a whole day. They'd be like, all right, I just got this. I don't know why. And sometimes they do. And then they find out why later. And everybody knows. And then it's done. This one is like, all right. Yeah,
there's a lot there.
There's a lot to take in. And then people are going crazy about, let's see, we can go into the mixer stuff with this too, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Let's just do it. Let's go tie into that, because I tweeted this out and I said this in a past show too. So mixer closing down. And this is, I will tie it into Dr. Disrespect soon. Mixer closed down. That was super unexpected and nobody knew about it, which is kind of, when it comes to big companies, I feel like obviously higher ups know what's happening. They make this decision. Do I think it's the company's policy to tell everybody below them? Mm-hmm. Yes and no. Mm-hmm. I think you should at least give them a day's notice before the rest of the world does, not tell them the same day that the world knows.
Right.
But yeah, so we caught a lot of partners, like a lot of their affiliates, a lot of pretty much every streamer on there. Like, I think that day you had so many streams going on of Mixer streamers crying on stream that this happened. And I felt bad. I know I chuckled about this, but I felt bad too. At the same
Why'd
time.
You chuckle? That's, you're sick. Why'd you chuckle? Tell me. I need details now.
Because it's not the end of the world. Like, I know people take years and they've taken years to build up their community, to build up what they had at Mixer. Yes.
Okay.
But I guess I come from the mindset that in any industry that you're in, things happen. And you really just gotta be able to mold with it as it happens. Mm. My 9-to-5 job, it's weird how the contract is played out with my company and how they're kind of contracted for the area that we work in. And it's actually, we're supposed to work there for 10 years, but they're 10 one-year contracts, meaning at any point after that year, they can just drop you and, you know, another company hopefully picks you up and there you are. You have a job still.
For the most part,
it doesn't. It affects us indirectly, but you never know in that year if you're going to have a job. And it's not always been like that. It's just really weird. The last 10 years have been like that. The next person, the next company that comes in can have a full, just straight 10-year contract if they really wanted to. But it leaves you not knowing, am I going to have a job in a year? Am I going to have a job in 5 years? Am I going to have a job in 10 years? You don't know. Like, I feel as an adult, when you have a career, you should never, ever be married to an idea that it's permanent. Like, you have to expect that there will be changes, and you have to expect, whether the changes come from you or comes from an outside source, to not be stuck in that, because nothing is ever guaranteed. And that's my career adult mentality about anything. So it's just kind of like, really, guys, come on, you can put on your big boy pants, and it can be for the better. Like, you know, I don't know what platform they're going to be going to. I think majority are choosing Twitch over Facebook Gaming.
Right.
Obviously the bigger names, which everybody was more concerned about them, which would be Shroud and Ninja, who picked up really hefty contracts.
Dude,
with
Mixer. They made a lot of money once they closed, because they pretty much got most of that money and now they're free agents.
Yep. And with that being said, so what I did say before is that Ninja could really do anything that he wants. I feel like he has not only the equity to do it, but he has that trust that he can go and build his own streaming service and be really successful at it. Will it take over Twitch? I don't think so. But will people go to it? Yes, just because it's Ninja. So now here's the whole thing that I think one of the speculations, which I can actually kind of jump on board of, and I think they could actually do right. If you had Ninja, Shroud, and Dr. Disrespect come together in some co-partnership to build up a company, a streaming service, they could do great.
Yeah, they could. I really believe they could. I don't know their relationship, but I think I have a theory with the whole Dr. Disrespect thing, but yeah, go ahead and finish your thought, and then I'll share some things that I've been thinking about.
So that comes up with this, really, this service that just happens to come up at the right time. Their Twitter is at Watch Brime. Which their only info says, Brime, a new streaming service. We believe gaming is fun. See you soon. We don't have a site yet. Somebody picked it up that it started to follow. It only follows 12 people, which happens to be Ninja, Dr. Disrespect, Shroud, and Dr. Lupo. Wow. Of the bigger things. I mean, they have a couple other, but those are the four bigger names on there. And somebody picked up on that.
I don't know much about Dr. Lupo, but I kind of like his vibe.
He has a good vibe.
Yeah.
So a lot of people are speculating that, like, oh, this might be it. This might be their new service. They do have a Q&A set up for tomorrow, the 29th, which they did tweet out 4 hours ago. It says, hi, all. Just because we follow someone doesn't mean anything. Every streaming service follows people that they find interesting. The QA is still Monday, though. And as a side note, we wanted to start small and grow organically. And this is happening very fast.
That's a misdirection. It could be. But anyway, yeah. All right, fair enough.
It could be. It really could be. But of course, everybody is flocking to this. Because I think when because I was interested, I just want to follow along in the story here. I did end up following me. I followed it late last night. And it was just under 1,000. So I didn't even break 1,000 yet. I woke up and I'm looking at it right now. It has 52.4K followers.
Wow.
So I am very, very curious. So it's either that little rumor mill is true, or this person just happens to be really smart to get in on the right marketing.
Right, right. Just a quick side note, the Monocaster, they got real quiet.
Monocaster? I don't think I've really...
The Monocaster, the recording device? Yeah, they got really quiet. The last time they posted was 2nd of June. But anyway, carry on.
And so I just wanted to just pay attention to that. I'm just keeping a little lifeline there just to see what happens. But yeah, they have a Q&A. And it really, if those three do partner up and create something, I think it would be powerful.
Yeah.
I'd be very curious about it. Obviously, anything that comes out, whether it be tech or software or services, I'm always just going to go and check it out. See what happens. Even if this Watch Brime doesn't have anything to do with them, I'm still going to go and look what kind of service they're offering, because there are other services. So you have I think it's Caffeine.
Yep.
Obviously Periscope, which is through Twitter, that have their own little streaming services. And I see people who stream their gameplay on Periscope.
DLive, that's the whole thing, right?
Yeah. Yeah. There's a couple other services. I can't remember them all. And some of them, they have potential, but it's something that, like, oh, okay, that's something I want to really, like, put my time into or switch over. It's not there yet.
Right.
But it really was a huge shock to see Mixer shutting down and so abruptly like that. And then shortly after that, the fact that Microsoft is closing down all of their physical stores, all of them. I was like, what is happening, Microsoft? What is happening?
It's wild.
Just
out
like,
here.
Oh my God. And the thing is, I liked the Mixer service. I did. I liked their technology that they had for the FTL, where it was like almost zero latency. I was so impressed with that. I love their chat GUI. I love really their entire layout and GUI of their site for users, which I really, 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 really hope, because what happened is, I believe Facebook Gaming is pretty much absorbing Mixer and giving out, you know, that I guess their Facebook new gaming partnership. Right? Yeah, their contracts and all that stuff, trying to meet them and talk with the partners and offering the level up program. I really hope that they take the design engineers from Mixer and to bring them into Facebook, because although I feel like Facebook gaming is very promising and I love kind of what they do, I really, really hate their website. I hate their website. I hate their app. So I really hope that they take these engineers and bring them over. Please work your magic on Facebook gaming, because they need some help.
Indeed. Yeah, they were doing some good stuff over there, for sure.
Because the Facebook gaming app isn't... No, I can't say it isn't terrible. It is terrible. It needs a whole lot more polishing. Does it make it easier to navigate through the gaming streams? Oh, yeah, it really does. It only pulls up those. I don't have to look through whatever other Facebook Live things of people selling jewelry or whatever it may be. So it really only showcases those, and it really only gives you notifications for those. And I like that. But just really the user experience of it, no. Nope, nope, nope. Not for me. So I hope they are welcoming of that, of those changes, that hopefully that can come across. I don't know what kind of changes, but I love what Mixer did, and I just hope they take that magic and bring it over.
Okay.
I don't think that a lot of people will be going over to Facebook, though. I think maybe they'll try it. I think they're partners. I cannot speak on it. But I think the contracts that Facebook offers are pretty, I think it was what makes them stick out a little bit, at least for the partner standpoint.
You can't really speak on it because you have a lot of details.
But I think it is something for people, for the partners to really consider. And I hope they actually take a look and read it and not be like, oh, it's Facebook, I don't want this, I'm just going to go to Twitch. Because Twitch has its own mess. Yes, Twitch has been the reigning like number one for 9 years.
Right.
Going plus. And that's what everybody is used to. And that's the standard that everybody's used to. But I don't feel like that should really... you know, hold somebody back.
Right.
Because there has been quite a few Twitch partners who went over to Facebook, I think 2 years ago, and they've loved it since. Their growth has doubled their growth in faster than they did on Twitch in whatever amount of years that they were there.
Right.
It's definitely, I keep saying this and I will continue to say this, it's a different mindset to market yourself on Facebook, but I think it is in a much healthier way of marketing yourself. I feel like the way you have to do it on Twitch feels less, not just unique, but personal as it does with Facebook. So I hope if you're listening, you take the time, consider it, see what it has the options to share with you, and just like see what is personally better for you. But I like that both Twitch and Facebook have been welcoming. And a lot of the streamers are like, hey, I've been on this platform for X amount of years. If you ever have any questions, just hit me up. I'll help you. I'll guide you through it. I think that's been awesome on the community standpoint for both sites.
Okay. You got more? Because we need to give them hope before we leave here, because the next topic is going to be, might be a little downer. We got to leave on a high note. You got.
Oh, man. I think that's all I got on that thing. There's just a lot to go on.
Okay. All right. So, Danielle, I have a question for you.
What's up?
How many Twit longers did you read this week?
Definitely over 100.
Golly, man.
Definitely over 100. I wouldn't be amazed if I said closer to 2, but I really don't know.
That's wild. So, so I'm trying to make peace with all of it, really. But I know even when we look at some of the individuals that we're either acquainted with, associated with, maybe fellow peers, to some degree, depending on what the situation was, or depending on the relationship, the business relationship, if you will, I was hurt. by a good portion of some of the things that, let me make sure I'm saying it. I was hurt by a lot of it, especially the individuals that you associated with. And I was hurt by all of it, the fact that it existed to that magnitude. So I need to be careful with my English because people are reading that wrong. Okay, so all of it is disgusting, right? But when you know individuals personally, to some degree, business relationship, association, or whatever, peer-to-peer kind of thing, and then now you have to deal with the fact that this is what we've kind of hung out with, like, how are you making peace with that? That's the question. And then we can kind of go from there.
Okay. That's a hard feeling to navigate through right now.
Okay.
And I'm scared to navigate through.
Okay. Okay.
Not because of the accuser or the accused. Only because my personal opinion of it right now is, I think, against the grain of the mentality that is currently going on.
Okay, you said a lot there without saying anything. So. I know you enough to know that. So,
okay, well, let's preface this with that I personally, and not of anybody of the industry, I am personally a survivor of rape and molestation. So I do take those accusations very, very seriously. And I read a lot, and I think I still continue to read a lot because there's so many, because there's currently a compilation of an archive that is being put together, and there's some stories that still haven't been added on today that I have read.
Is that the Medium one?
Yeah, well, the Medium one that turned into a Google spreadsheet.
Yeah, that one, yeah.
And I guess it definitely hits different when you know the person.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it be on both sides or just one side. So I take into consideration the story of the victim and the story of the accused, or if they put in a response.
Mm-hmm.
And I have some, not a whole lot,
mm-hmm.
some respect for the accused who own up to what I did was wrong and they acknowledge it. I do not like how some of them don't know how to either phrase it, mm-hmm. or that's really what they think, and where they kind of, I'm sorry I did this, but I'm like, there's no but. That's a period. Stop. And I had to really take into consideration about how deep their apology was, of what they were acknowledging and what they were accepting. I had to take into consideration about what they planned on doing or on correcting or stepping away from, to see if, like, is this somebody I want to continue following?
Right.
And that's where I go against the grain, because the cancel culture is extremely strong right now.
Right.
And people would be like tagging mutuals like, oh, I see you're still following so-and-so. Don't you see their story? And then they'll link the story, blah, blah, blah. You should remove them. And like, if you're not going to remove them, like, people are like, why are you supporting so-and-so? And that's where it comes into where I'm taking into consideration about what they did, the severity of what they did, and their response to it. Because I believe that there's some things that can be unlearned. I feel that there's lessons that you can take away and you can improve upon in person, and that some of these people are wanting to actually change what they didn't think was a bad habit or a negative thing, where they didn't see what they were doing was wrong because nobody has pointed it out to them before.
Right.
And again, this has to be based on top of their severity. And one of the first ones I had to really, 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 really think about was somebody that I've known online. I've never got to meet him yet. I'd still like to meet him. And yeah, I saw that still means I'm still kind of associated with this person. And he didn't molest anybody. He didn't rape anybody, but he did make somebody feel unsafe,
okay,
and insecure. And I was like looking at the story and I was like, okay, you didn't realize what you did was wrong. And they are just absolutely like, their career is something that they don't even know that if they can salvage or save. But even if they can't, like, people like that who does something that they don't know was wrong, I feel like you need to educate them. They can't be left to just be like, okay, so you call me out, everybody abandons me, I don't know how to fix this. And it's not like I'm going there to try to fix whatever content creation career they have, but as a person going forward in life, whatever they may choose to be, I think it does more to be able to be there and be like, hey, dude, I'm going to call you out on every single thing that you do. Doing this kind of as a friend, because I think that you really just didn't know better.
Okay.
Because it falls into that stigma, like growing up, like, it's a very old school mentality, but to this day, it still rings true that, you know, men are kind of almost raised to believe that, like, they got to keep pursuing that woman until they get to their end goal, whatever that may be. Although I'm sure there's more of a gentleman tactic to it, but that's still a mentality that's being pushed. And women are still, you know, raised to believe in this mentality of like, oh, they have to play coy and hard to get and ladylike things or whatever it may be. It's like this really old school mentality that I've never understood, but it's there. Might not be in every, you know, society that's out there or community, but it's still there. And obviously, with stories that came out that has some very severe accusations and what the person is being accused of, like that one, and seeing what they said, and some of them didn't even say anything. The fact that they didn't say anything was like, yeah, you're gone. Because you're not owning up to what you did. You have nothing to say. I don't want to be associated to you because you don't even want to acknowledge it.
Right.
So that person was removed, and I believe they were removed from companies that they were with. So I'm trying to really sit there and navigate my feelings about it, because I am going to catch some hate for the fact that I don't feel like I'm standing with, but I'm not standing against the person being accused. I'm just there to be okay. Like, hey, let's fix this behavior. Because like the first person I mentioned, like I've known him for a long time, and I know him, like he's a really young kid, and he's only ever been super respectful to me. He's always like we chatted. If he's ever had any questions, he asks. He's always so polite. And he's never made me any certain way. I've seen him go through some bad relationships with women who cheated on him or used him for money. And, you know, it's been a learning experience for him. I'm not trying to use that as a sympathy card for him, but it's like, for me, like I've known you for like 9 years when you were 16. You're a 25-year-old man now. And I've never had anything bad, although he's only had one story that was together, only one person. So that's another thing I take into consideration too, is how many people are calling out this person? Because that makes it really, really like, okay, you have multiple. And they sound very similar stories, and they have people who corroborate with them. You're not looking very good. I don't know if we should be talking anymore.
Mm. So 2 is the number then?
I don't know. I have to do some like deep down research, because here's the other thing too, is that it started getting to a point where some of these stories sounded less like harassment, abuse of power, rape, molestation, and some of them started to sound more like airing out during dirty laundry. And oh boy,
Why are you saying, oh boy?
Because this is also like a very, very negative take on that nobody's kind of wanting to acknowledge here. So it sounded more like airing out dirty laundry, and they're upset that they're just a side chick.
Okay. Okay, I see what you're saying there.
And those was like, oh, I don't even want to entertain this one.
Mm.
Because there's a few of that, and with the cancel culture that's going on, the way that they're wording the story is so...
Oh, you're trying to be like, so nice right now. Oh my gosh, Danielle, I'm so proud of you.
I don't know if it's about being nice as it is. It is. It's actually really kind of scary to actually have your opinion that doesn't go with the rest of the mob.
Right. I got because one. I got
do
one
I believe?
You.
Do I believe the women? The oh, stories just, that I believe.
You just hit on it.
The stories
you
that
it.
I believe on that happened to these women. Yes, I do.
Okay.
And it has to be like, I believe them. Now, the ones that I'm calling out that are airing out dirty laundry, do I believe their story? Yes. Do I believe how they felt on their side and how maybe like they, gosh, I really, really hate this. How there is some manipulation that goes into it? Yes. And were they hurt? Yes. But how much of that really, like, oh my goodness. I'm not victim blaming here. I'm trying. It's what I feel isn't what everybody else is going to feel. And this is why I have not actually really said much about it.
So you think there's flags there that people ignore? Here's a question for you.
Flags, yes.
Okay. Why do you think they ignore them?
I have no idea.
Okay. All right.
No idea. For me, because like I said, I am a victim and a survivor of rape and molestation. And that was from 11 years old. And I have a general natural sense of just not trusting certain people or just seeing certain behaviors out of people that I don't know if that's the type of person they are. But I naturally, my gut instinct and whatever my spidey sense tells me,
right,
don't get close to a couple people. Like, okay, you're there. I don't know anything definitely right about you, but you're there. I'm going to make sure that whatever conversations we have is strictly like this. And right, I have no ever reason to ever be alone with you. And you know what? Like, two of them I was correct with so far, because those are the two that like, I'm like, all right.
So
yes,
so I'm a dude that you met online. How long did it take for you to trust me?
Probably a couple years.
Okay,
but there's a lot to unpack, and I do a lot of people watching, and I really pay attention to people's behaviors on a lot of things, especially when people don't think I notice it, and. It's so bizarre to really talk about this, and I'm trying not to associate it with any of it. So I don't believe that women ask for it. I don't believe that women want these things. I don't believe women should change the way that they act or dress to prevent these things.
Mm-hmm.
I think men and women should have their guard up at all times. Right. At all times. And I can also notice behaviors in men and where they are very guarded because of possibly, you know, they don't ever want to come across as a certain way. And I will.
That's me right now.
I will give an example of that without giving any names or titles or positions. There was a Twitch party that I went to, and I ended up just by chance meeting somebody online. It was like, it was a random thing. We didn't meet up or anything like that, but they came up to me like, oh, and she's like, oh, I remember you. We were talking. I was like, oh yeah, that's great. So it was just like, just by chance that we happened to be at the same party and we were talking and we're chatting it up. And I was there with my boyfriend, and he was talking to a friend of his who happens to be of a pretty high status. And they've been longtime friends well before this person had that status or that title. So they were just like playing catch up, talking, all this other stuff. And we're standing next to each other. And I kind of didn't know her as well. I know what she does and I like what she does. And I, you know, based off online, thought she was cool, but I don't really know what type of person she was. So I didn't kind of like immediately introduce her to this person of higher status. She seemed really cool, but at the same time, she didn't seem interested in whoever this person was, this fourth person standing in our circle, and we're all talking and everything, that she had zero interest. Wouldn't even look at him. Wouldn't even fancy whatever they were talking about whatsoever. She asked me, "Who's that?" "This is so-and-so. He works at so-and-so, and he does this." And suddenly, she's interested.
Mm.
Suddenly, her entire body language changes. Her personality changes. Suddenly, she's trying to get this person's attention and flirting with them. That sits wrong with me immediately. I'm like, all right, that's your little tactic. Suddenly, oh, you're just like interested in this person. And she spends like, I think the next 30, 45 minutes trying to get his attention, flirting with him. Her voice goes up a couple octaves and suddenly she's super interested.
Hmm. Trying to be cute and all that, doing all that stuff.
Pretty much. And then does the whole like light touches on the arm to be like, "Oh, that's so funny. Oh, really?" Like, I'm just watching this happen. And so this person of higher status, I feel like he picked up on that too. And just like, "No, you didn't want to talk to me before you knew who I was. I'm not going to want to talk to you once you know." Like, did not even pay any mind to it. And that's a very tough thing to be as a woman and as a man, because I've seen this happen too in a reverse role, when, you know, it's a man that's a content creator and then the woman is of a higher status and suddenly, you know, guys all interested in this woman now. But to have to navigate it, to be like, okay, no, I don't want to be caught dead, even at this party in a room full of public people where you're trying to just have these friendly, like, you're touching my arm or my forearm or you're giggling at my things. Like, everybody can see whatever is happening there in a very different light, depending on when you started paying attention to the conversation that she's trying to have.
Right.
And she went off to go get a drink or refill her drink or whatever like that. And my boyfriend, he wasn't really paying attention to the whole thing go out. He was just completely oblivious talking to his friends. And he was like, "You want me to introduce her to him?" Like, Nope. Don't even. And he didn't understand. He thought it was weird. At that time, he thought it was weird. I was like, no. Just, that's it. It's done. Doesn't even need to happen. He didn't understand it until all of this going on. I'm like, this is why I do not introduce certain people to certain people, especially when I know their type of personality. Because I've seen it time and time again in where one party gets turned down and suddenly the story gets twisted somewhere in where, like, whether they felt it from their perspective or they just don't want to be like the ones that were just, it's going to be made fun of, in where the person that they're turned down from is like, "Well, you know, he was talking to me and then suddenly all this, and I was like being all friendly with him, and now they just used me and manipulated me because I didn't do whatever it is." I was like, it's a weird thing to navigate. It's a weird thing to see from both parties. And I'm not the type of person to instantly like, okay, I believe your story. I believe your version of the story. I'm not going to go and try to pick it apart or anything like that. I just see it so often. I've seen it played out in so many different ways that I can't just immediately jump on that bandwagon. And it's hard. It's hard to have that opinion. It's hard to have that stance. It's hard to have that opinion at all right now.
Mm.
Because the cancel culture is so real. It's either, it's pretty much when it comes to the Me Too movement, it's either you're on one side or the other, you're not in the middle. And I feel like it's unfair to not really be able to sit and listen to both sides and to really see what the picture is that's being painted. Black Lives Movement? Yeah. You're on one side or the other. There is no in between. I 100% agree with that. There's only one side to be on.
Right.
Me Too movement is just like...
There's gray areas.
There is. There is a gray area. And I hate the fact that I cannot be in that gray area. But there are some people, specifically one person, I was so happy that was called out. I was like, yes. I wanted to... There was an F in there, but there was a yes.
Wow.
I didn't have any... Like, that was when one of my spidey senses went off. And I was like, yeah, we're not going down that route with you.
Mm.
So I don't have any personal stories. I just have my gut feelings and but like, or how they treated me after the fact. That, well, nothing harassment or anything happened to me, but I just knew it was going to. And then I just kind of stopped it and like, yeah, nope. Somebody else called you out. Ha! I was right all these years.
Oh my God. Aha!
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Now I need names, but okay. All right. So, some encouragement before we get out of here.
Oh man.
Give them hope, Daniela, before we get out of here.
Give them hope.
Yeah.
So this week is July.
This week is July.
Which means it's a whole new month for positive possibilities.
Uh huh.
I don't know, because right now I'm kind of sad that like I don't get a 4th of July.
You don't get a 4th because why?
Everything's canceled. Like, okay,
gotcha.
Because, yeah, too many people getting together, big groups. So we usually have our 4th of July on the beach with the big fireworks. So this isn't helping on the whole positive thing ending.
Yeah, I mean, are you planning to do anything with your family around that, the 3rd or 4th or whatever?
Possibly.
Just to hang out, food, and, you know, social distance and things? Something?
Possibly. We'll see. I know my best friend and her family with my godchildren. They'll be arriving on the 2nd. They'll be here for 2 months. So I don't know what kind of leave I'm going to be able to get because I took off 2 weeks.
Okay.
And I'm taking off a couple more for these follow-up appointments and whatnot. So I don't know what my leave is going to be like to be able to see them, if I can see them more than just the weekends. But I have that to look forward to for the next 2 months.
Okay. I guess I'm tired, but okay, go ahead.
What positive things do you have? Come on, help me out here.
Help you out? I think we've grown tremendously. You know, as people, as teammates, as co-hosts, I think that's positive. You know,
that is positive. It is.
I think we've seen a lot of things. We've discussed a lot of things that have been pretty private. And I think that we've grown together. I think that's super dope. I'm happy about that.
I can't wait for next year.
Indeed.
I don't get to see you at all this year.
I know. It's bad. I don't get to see you. I'm sad about that. I'm sad about that a little bit. It's
okay.
It's
I'm
a
waiting
bummer.
For a vaccination.
You're waiting for a vaccination?
That's pretty much what it is. What other good things?
Healthy, you know, health-wise. I think that, I've been eating a lot more than I usually do because we've been in quarantine and stuff like that, but health-wise, you know, I feel really good. So I'm happy about that. And I mean, just looking forward to just really enjoying family, you know, and planning out. There's something that's supposed to be happening today. I want to see if we can make it happen, have you included in that also. So I got to find out more about that before the day ends. So I'll keep you posted on that. I think I'm supposed to be recording a another pod today with my cousin. So I got to find out if that's still happening. I think that's it. Maybe I'll catch up on some comedy stuff on Netflix. And this is actually 552, because I know I was sounded like I was guessing in the beginning. But 551 was the coffee company that I interviewed. Also, Holly is the president of that. It's a black and LGBT coffee company. And that was episode 551. So that was a good conversation. I think that's all I got. And yeah, circles have changed a little bit. People we thought we would be hanging out with in the next conventions, we may not necessarily do that. But I think there's still people that are still dope that we're looking forward to see. So yeah, so that's I'm good. I'm chilling.
See, I'm trying to think about what's happening in July to look forward to. Evil Online. Evil Online will be hosted.
Ghost of Tsushima.
I believe in July.
That's a thing.
That's on there. Yeah, I think that's the biggest thing on my end. Hopefully my summer isn't too hot. I feel the heat creeping up, but it's okay.
Indeed. Yeah, it was supposed to rain today during the parade, but I'm glad it didn't. So we had a good time with that.
And, oh, I on a personal note, I actually get to start my body piercing apprenticeship. Finally.
Congrats.
And that's kind of it. That's kind of my biggest news. That's what I have to look forward to for the next couple of months, is starting that. And yeah.
Cool. All right. So yeah, I think that's it. So give us you can close us out, give our Twitters and all that fun stuff, and then we can get out of here, Daniela.
Okay, so thank you for listening into episode 552.
Yeah.
You just said it too. You literally just said it. I was like, wait, was it 42 or 52? 552. If you enjoyed the show, please consider telling a friend about us. And if you want to interact with folks with you, just join our community Discord, which is skip.gg/14180. And if you also enjoyed it, head on over to Apple Podcasts and kindly leave us a review. We'd love it. I mean, of course, you can listen to us on all your favorite podcatchers, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Play. We're in all of the places. You can follow Andrew on Twitter, Instagram, and Twitch at /Uriah, U-R-I-Y-Y-A. And on my socials, Twitter, Instagram, and Twitch as well, /MissDJM. And until next time, you have a good week.